This is the Library Channel, episode 34, 40-2007, Transborder Library Forum. I'm your host, Fred McElvain, and today I'm joined by a co-host, Mimo Bonanni. Hi, Mimo.
Hey, Fred. Good to see you again.
And we're joined by the co-chairs of 40-2007, Jenny Mueller-Alexander, business reference librarian here at Hayden Library.
Fred.
And Rosa Gonzalez, the administrative associate to the university library.
Hi, Fred. Good morning.
And today we're talking about 40-2007. Why don't you kick us off here, Mimo?
Sure. I want to start off by saying welcome and thanks for doing the podcast with us. I'm registered for the conference, so I'm looking forward to learning more about 40 through this podcast. I want to start off with asking about if you could tell us a little bit more about the Transborder Library Forum, its history, how it got started, how it operates.
Well, basically, I'm going to start probably telling you the very first 40 that was ever held. It was in Rio Rico, Nogales, Arizona, and it was February 1991. The origin probably started back in 1988 when librarians from Arizona and Sonora identified the need to improve communication between libraries in Mexico and the United States. That's when all the planning started, and then the first 40 was held in 1991. The following year, librarians from Hermosillo, Sonora, were hosts, and subsequently the forum conferences have been held alternatively, once in the United States and once in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Has ASU ever hosted this before?
Yes, but in Tucson.
In Tucson. ASU was hosting it in Tucson?
Yes. Oh.
It was actually the State Library Association, and the chair, Charlotte Cohen, was here at ASU at that time.
Ah, very good. Thank you.
Rosa, I was wondering if you could talk to a little bit about how 40 operates, because I was kind of caught interested in the fact that it's a volunteer-based organization.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We don't have a board of directors. We're not actually registered anywhere. And it's basically just a personal undertaking of all of the members of the different libraries across the borders that have actually embraced the conference and do whatever they can when hosting it. And basically we function with registrations and sponsorships from the different vendors that actually come to the conference.
That's really interesting that it's all done by a volunteer.
I think it has a great value to know that that's how it has survived since 1991 to 2007.
Right.
By the personal efforts of all the people that actually get involved at one point or the other.
Is there a core group of people that kind of keeps it together? I mean, do you have a listserv or an email listing, or how do you communicate?
Initially, we did not have anything like that because the internet just did not exist. A few universities had email, but across the border, it just wasn't a possibility. But as things developed, by 1993, we had a 40L discussion list, which still exists today. And that is one way we keep up. It takes on and does a lot of other things, communications back and forth. It covers reforma topics. It talks about AMBAC, which is the Mexican Library Association. It carries news that people would be interested in. So that is one way. I maintain a personal distribution list of past chairs of the 40s, people that I have met that are, when we have questions, we have sent the note out, and we've gotten a lot of help from past chairs, participants. Anything we need, we send out the word, and we get help back because it is all grassroots, and it is that personal contact.
Is that also a is that tool used also to develop the themes of the conference?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We put out a call and, you know, what are your themes and topics, or here's some suggestions. What do you think about this? Is that something of interest in Mexico or Canada? So while the emphasis is on the Mexico-U.S. with Canada and the NAFTA, it doesn't, now with technology, it's not limited to our local issues.
That leads into my next question was, The theme of the conference is Bridging the Digital Divide, Crossing All Borders. Very appropriate for libraries and these days, dealing with technology. And it's interesting, talking about the possibility of sharing technology or sharing ideas concerning technology between Mexico and Canada and the States. So can you talk a little bit, Jenny, about the theme?
We picked the theme because with preservation issues going on and with the e-journals and now the e-reference books, not just regular books and computer books that you can read online for technical consulting, we're finding that as we move from a paper to a digital format, we have new issues to surmount. The intellectual copyright, especially on the international scale, is not designed to accommodate that. The original U.S. Copyright Act was designed to accommodate books. So we have new issues to face and discuss as librarians, and we need the technology people as well. Preservation now, we used to be, in earlier forums, we talked about how to physically preserve the actual document, the papyrus, the leaves, the whatever format we happen to have. And since some of the universities around here have marvelous material from the early days of the settlement of Mexico and Arizona, which was part of Mexico at that time, there were some serious issues. Now we need to digitize these and make them available to scholars, so the only actual physical use need to be for those who actually must handle the physical copy for the type of research. But we need indexing, we need access points, we need computers to store this.
Exactly.
And then we also come up with, how do we preserve our culture? And that's one of the things that's really exciting, because we are having some programs designed for public librarians and various cultural people, the museums, this would apply to them as well.
I noticed that there are quite a number of cultural-related programs, like what is a cultural research collection and why does your library need one? I think there's one on indigenous peoples as well. So I was glad to see that they're...
Oh, absolutely. And one of the ones that we're really excited about, in a previous forum, one of our entertainments was a storyteller from Tucson who told children's stories, the local folkloric type stories, in English and Spanish at the same time. He's coming to speak, Martin Riviera is coming to speak about how do we preserve those things, because those are actual performances, they're visual, but to preserve them digitally, you have to do other things. So he's going to talk about what he's doing in terms of preserving, because every storyteller tells the same story, just a little bit differently.
Can you share with me, Jenny, what his popular name is, or nickname?
Medio pollito.
Medio pollito, half a chicken.
That's cute. Rosa, could you tell us a little bit about why it's called Foro?
Foro? I don't know exactly where the name came from, but excuse me?
Well, I was going to say, how does it translate in Spanish?
Foro is in Spanish, forum is in English, right?
Right.
And as I told Mimo in a conversation we had a few days ago, mm-hmm. I think where it all came from was actually from Spanish, foro, and the foro is a reunion of people exchanging ideas and capabilities and sharing and coming to some sort of beneficial outcome for everyone. That's what I think it is. I don't know, Jenny, do you know of any other?
Also, think about it this way. In the United States, we shorten everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we shorten it to a nice sounding, something that has a good ring to it. We don't like clunky shortenings, so that when we have acronyms for the government, we even make them sound nice.
Mm-hmm.
Foro sounds much nicer to the ear, and it's a little warmer and friendly. And we were also, at all the foros, trying to make, at the first one particularly, trying to make our Spanish-speaking colleagues feel welcome. And it was just easier. It just rolls off the tongue so much nicer than forum.
Mm-hmm.
But stick that M on the end.
And I think everyone that hears about Transborder Library Foro, they get the gist already. You don't have to necessarily say forum for them to know that it's a foro.
Right.
I mean, we have Romance language roots. And mm-hmm. if you know a little bit about either of the two languages, you'll get the gist of the four. And it kind of identifies, like Jenny says, very well with Mexico. Right. And they are our strongest allies.
Looking over the program and conferences, and you could tell that Foro is going to be a great exchange of ideas, not only between U.S., Mexico, and Canada, but it almost looks like it would be a great forum for the interest of the international community as well. Do you think this appeals to the international community?
Definitely. We have had, over the years, we have had participants from the Caribbean, including Cuba, and also from Japan, Germany, and this year we have participants, of course, from Canada, Mexico, the U.S., but we also have South Africa, Uganda, Kenya, cool. the United Kingdom. They may not be the majority, mm-hmm. but we do have a certain number of participants and presenters that come to present, you know, papers at the conference. So, yes, I would say that the word spreads. The different channels, and we get quite a diverse group of people.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Africa is really a hotbed of the kinds of cross-border of all kinds, not just the physical country borders, but they're crossing between academic and public. They're crossing tribal boundaries. They're crossing institutions that... technology. They're taking the technologies that have and getting the information out to those who don't because of where they're located. Mm-hmm. So this is a wonderful opportunity. Plus, we had a really nice lead-in this year. The State Library is hosting a pre-conference on library leadership where 15 Arizona librarians are invited, and then 15 librarians from outside of Arizona are invited to come for leadership skills, library leadership. And it just is very exciting in that this federal grant is actually also taking place in Arizona, and they are having it just before our conference. So it allows these people to come and stay as well.
Before we totally forget about it, what are the dates of the conference?
That's correct.
Well, we have an additional pre-conference workshop on health information in the Spanish language that's being offered for free, and so we encourage everyone to come, including the local librarians. It's on Tuesday afternoon, February 20th. But the actual Foro conference itself is the 21st, 22nd, and the morning of the 23rd.
And where's it being held?
It's being held at the Memorial Union on the ASU campus.
And we've already had a prior podcast discussing the Publishing Across Borders exhibit that the Hayden Library is hosting in conjunction with the Foro Conference. Are there any other exhibits or workshops going on?
Well, we do know that the Bilingual Press also has an art exhibit at Terminal 4 at the airport, and we've alerted our attendees who are coming in on the airlines that come into that terminal to actually take some time and look at the artwork. It's really very nice.
Is there going to be an exhibit area at Foro?
Yes, there will be. We have some. The vendors that tend to come are vendors that sell to libraries, and most of the ones that are coming, of course, ASU is a very, very large university with a very large library system, so we have contacts with most of the major vendors, and those are some of the people who will be coming, and a number of them have been supporters of the Foro from the very beginning, mm-hmm. and so we're very pleased to have them continue to support us.
Well, that's good. I always enjoy going to a conference and attending programs, listening to people talk, and then go to an exhibit area and speak with vendors and learn more about what's being offered. That's great. Maybe we could just chat a little bit more about some of the programs that are going to be available, like networking across the border. Is there any of the programs that you'd like to emphasize?
Well, one of our keynote speakers is Janice LaChance. She's CEO of the Special Libraries Association. She was selected to represent the library associations on the U.S. delegation to the World Summit on the Internet Society. She has now also been appointed to the UN committee that is continuing that project. So she's going to be talking about her experiences because, of course, the internet is handled differently in different countries depending on the type of government and how much of they control of information. what the government puts out or doesn't put out. So it's going to be very interesting. We also have a professor here at ASU, Dennis Karshala, who is an expert on international intellectual property rights, and he is one of the lawyers that is very, very active in working on the Digital Copyright Act and the Sonny Bono Amendment to make sure that it is more user-friendly. He really is very active. He's going to be talking about that. We also have Alberto Rios, who was a keynote speaker at the very first conference. Alberto grew up along the Nogales-Arizona-Sonora border, and the first time he talked to us about his experiences growing up. And so we're really looking forward to hearing him again and see what he has to say all these years later.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to attend that, for sure. So speaking of programs, are they both presented in Spanish and English?
Yes, we have presentation both in Spanish and English. Normally, the presenter chooses their language of choice, and we're hoping to be able to get some simultaneous interpretation to have available for the attendees. But right now, we have a call out for volunteers to do that job for us because it's a very expensive service, and we haven't been able to really find something that a humble forum could afford to pay, since we operate basically, you know, from
volunteers.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so you hear it here on the podcast. If you can translate Spanish, contact Rosa.
Por favor.
One of the nice things about this foro is many of the people who come are actually competent in both languages. They just do not feel comfortable speaking on a fast pace. Most of the ones that come will be very good in reading English. I'm fine in reading Spanish, but when you start talking to me, it's a little too fast. I just kind of, my jaw drops, stop and listen. Mm-hmm. And then about 5 minutes later, oh, okay. So it is a give and take. It's a very informal one. If you are having trouble understanding, all you do is reach out, grab somebody, and say, could you translate for me?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Because the people who come, the point is the networking, getting to know people. So when you have problems with your library, I get emails all the time from librarians saying, I'm having trouble getting a hold of this through interlibrary loan. Could you help me locate a place? Could you help me with this? Do you know someone who can do that? And I ask them similar questions.
And it's very true that networking, the camaraderie in the conference is very, very tight-knit. And you would find that people that come from Mexico especially, they always know somebody. And like Jenny says, if they have someone else next to them, hey, they grab them and what are they saying? And they do help each other because it's a common interest.
Right.
So it's very, very, very fulfilling to see that sort of networking go on at the conference. Very nice.
And we have one program that really could enhance this because the U.S. consulate is sending someone to talk to us about how the U.S. embassy can facilitate work across the borders and exchanges. So that is something, since we're a research institution, that's important to us, to get our people to go down there, to have research projects down there, help bring Mexican librarians up here for projects that are of interest to them. So I'm really looking forward to that session.
As a matter of fact, from all this work we have had to do with the conference, on and off, we have had people that just call for help. You know, oh, I don't know that I'll be able to come because my visa takes 90 days to process, and I don't have the 90 days. So the contact and the embassy has been very nice to give us information to share with these people of a place in the embassy's webpage where they can go and actually apply for an emergency sort of visa. And they told us the topic that they need to use, and one of the topics is attending a workshop, a conference for medical reasons, and it's something that I didn't know was available, and obviously a lot of people didn't know that they could do that. They go through the regular channels, which is apply, wait 90 days, wait to hear back from them, and I think we have actually helped some people to make that transition, you know, from not being able to get it to actually, oh, I was able to get it.
The embassy sent out a notice to all of the consulates in Mexico to make them aware of this conference and that they should be seeing applications coming in. And they've been so helpful.
They truly have.
Is it too late to register for the conference?
Oh, no. You can register and walk in that day and attend the whole conference. You can attend a single day. We also have, for the local librarians who can't get away for an entire day or 2.5 days, you can register for a half day just so you can attend the sessions you want to.
Not only that, but let's not forget that we have actually a special registration fee or price for library school students. Oh, it's a reduced rate from just the regular librarians. And
this sounds like it would be a very interesting conference for library schools. Students.
Well, we think so.
Yes.
We also have heard that there are actually some students coming, library school students coming from Mexico, and they were very interested, but for them as students, the regular price was a barrier, and so they are excited about coming as well.
I got a fax yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I think it's a professor with two students, because I saw the registration forms, and one is a full registration, and the other two are the reduced price for the students, and we have actually asked for them to tell us the institution that they attend for the library school classes.
Any idea about how many people might be attending this?
It has ranged from the first one, which was about 50 people, to close to 300. Now, the 4O is not like your typical American conference where everybody pre-registers to get the really cheap price. That's just not the way it works. We find that the Americans pre-register, and Mexico, a lot of them will just show up. So right now we have about 60 people pre-registered, which is very good for this time prior to a 4O conference, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if another 100 just show up.
I wouldn't either, because right now I have email communication with one person that is actually communicating with me, but for a group of 15 people. Mm-hmm. And that shows you actually
it
what can
like
happen.
It's going to go well beyond the 16 for sure.
Yeah, and that's what actually happens at the last minute. I think in part it's because they have to submit their request for funding, and it takes longer than it takes for us here.
It's a different process.
Yeah. Government institutions, there's probably a lot of red tape and paperwork and signatures required, and they don't actually hear about it until almost the last minute. But we know that if they get the funding, we've seen them drive across the border, a group of 6-8 people in a van that come up from Ensenada, and they do it. It's actually, it's wonderful to see to what extent and what effort they'll put into attending 4O.
Well, last question I want to bring up is all that information we just talked about, the registration fees, even the hotel potential for a place to stay in Tempe, can that be found on the 4O website?
Absolutely. On the travel lodging page of the 4O website, we do have a place where you click on and hotels, and it tells you the hotels, and we have a wide variety of prices and that they are giving to the 4O that is going to, and many of them are within walking distance, so it's in February in Tempe, Arizona, is very nice walking weather. So we are looking forward to having an interesting group here. The registrations forms are right on the website. There's an online registration form. There's a fax form. We accept credit cards, which is a first for the 4Os. Previously, without the internet, we wouldn't be doing it either.
I must say that this is the first time that 4O has an EIN number, which is a non-profit organization, actually registration form. So we have been able to provide people with a W-9 to show that we are tax exempt.
Great.
It's the very first time in the history of 4O, I think, that we've done that.
Yeah, I'm so amazed you could do all this all on a volunteer network. That's great. Yeah. Very cool.
Well, we should mention that the regulations for doing a conference like this have gotten worse. Our government has created a lot more red tape for us to set up something like this to do it as well. So that's part of the reason why we may be the first one to have this, simply because it's required to open a bank account. It's required for almost everything we want to do. People want the W-9. They want the EIN.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, to do the online registrations, which we thought of in order to make foreign attendees' lives a little easier, which was by having the option to pay with a credit card online. In order to be able to do that and open a bank account, we had to have a tax ID number and so forth.
Makes sense.
We hope it helps everybody.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
Well, we hope to be able to submit the papers from this conference, not only as a web publication, but we would like to deposit it with the ERIC system that the Department of Education operates. Previous 4.0s have been placed on deposit in the ERIC system, and on our web page we'll be loading shortly the links to those with the ERIC documents that are actually been digitized and are available full text online.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for joining us today, taking time out of your exceptionally busy schedule.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Well, thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for listening to the Library Channel. Please check the show notes for more information, websites, and other information about the 4.0 conference.
Gracias por escuchar esta grabación. Esperamos que en un futuro no muy lejano tengamos la versión de la traducción de este programa al idioma español. Muchas gracias y que tengan un buen día.
This is the Library Channel. Thanks for listening.